All right.
All right. You guys want to start the show?
Let's start the show.
Sugar. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday Morning Serial, the show that celebrates the themes of Saturday morning television, which not only did we grow up with, but also have grown up with us. And hey, great news, Bat fans. We're talking about the Caped Crusader, the world's greatest detective, the dude under the cowl. It's a Batman episode. And by the way, Here's me. I'm Dan Grimshay. I'm your host. Say hello to me. Thank you. And also say hello to Marquee. Marquee, say hello back.
I'm saying hi back, everybody.
And we couldn't do a Batman episode without our Batman expert, of course, Jimmy the Gent Lazinski, Wayne.
Hey, howdy. Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing?
All right. And that's roll call.
Brought to you by Wayne Industries.
That's right. Wayne Co.
Wayne Co. Jimmy. Gotcha. Are you taking selfies?
Jimmy was busy taking selfies while we're trying to record. No.
It's okay because this is Batman and his 80th anniversary.
80 years. This? 80 this years of the Batman.
It seems like a lot longer to me. 80 doesn't seem like Batman's just, I mean, I know it's for all of our lives he's always been there, but Batman seems like he's always been there. Like there's George Washington and Batman were at the same table. Right?
So the fifth hat on the monument.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I mean, it's Batman here. It doesn't. I mean, 80 just doesn't seem like enough, but yet 80 years. There it is.
Well, I'm sure he'll discover time travel.
It's a pretty big chunk. He's one of the, if not the most recognizable property across the globe,
the world. Yeah. And to celebrate, we're bringing you not one but two different Batmans on today's show.
That's right.
What's the name?
My name's Jimmy, and I am Batman.
name the other Batman.
Oh, the other Batman, we're going to have Jason O'Mara from currently starring in Hush, among other DC properties, and Kevin Conroy. We're going to talk about Batman Beyond, the complete series that came out on DVD, Blu-ray.
Oh. And Kevin Conroy is he owns the animated Batman voice. I don't know how Jason O'Mara is getting this work.
Since 1992, Kevin Conroy has been pretty much the voice of Batman. And if you have a Batman voice in your head, it's probably his. There have been some other people lately as he's kind of phasing out, but he's still mostly the man, Batman, the animated series, Justice League, the Arkham Knight, the Arkham series, he's Batman. I mean, it's probably the Batman voice you know.
And a little bit more recent news is that he's going to, for the very first time, he's going to be a live-action version in the crossover event on
the CW, yeah. And I'm sure we're going to post a picture of that. They announced it just today. Not sure when this episode's going to drop, but he is going to be the Kingdom Come Bruce Wayne. They announced they had a shouldered-up picture of him in the armor. That kind of his exoskeleton armor, which was, I've been uptucking my boner ever since I saw that, if I may be so bold.
So yeah. What is it? Yeah. Forgive my ignorance. What is the Kingdom Come Batman?
Kingdom Come is a dystopian future version of the DC universe where Superman has been in recluse for some time and Batman lives. Everybody is old and kind of out of the scene, there's everybody's kids are kind of the modern day superheroes, and
there's also like this kind of like Watchmen kind of vibe, there's a lot of anti superhero, a lot of resentment,
right? It followed in the wake of the Watchmen, and the art of Alex Ross really pushed the story along, where it's very realistic paintings,
and just to and to join the Kevin Conroy Batman is going to be the Brandon Routh Superman.
Yeah, yeah. If we haven't mentioned that before, those all we'll probably have a picture of that, or maybe, I'm sure there's a dual picture of your favorite Brandon Routh in the Kingdom Come Superman outfit. Which does look, I have to admit, he looks pretty good at
that.
It looks
amazing. He's got the red shorts.
That looks
so
really
good. It passes for me.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of that S, that particular S, the Kingdom Come, you know, Superman.
Yep, with the black
mantle.
Kind of back. Yeah,
right.
It's great. It's great. And so, but this is the first time that we're going to actually be able to put a face to the voice of Batman. Because, he's been in Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, Batman Arkham, right? Was that him?
In the Arkham series, that's him.
So we've been hearing this voice, and I have attended many of the Comic-Con round tables with him. I've met him a couple of times. Mm-hmm. He looks like he could be Bruce Wayne, which means that it looks like he could be Batman. He's a little skinny at this point, but, you know, if you put about 20 pounds on him, he could totally be Batman, you know, like totally. It's great that that we're going to actually get to see him play this. He's a handsome son of a bitch. His voice is amazing, and so we're gonna finally get to see him.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that slightly off topic crossover that has a whole lot of cameos from just about anybody who's played somebody or worn a cape in the past 20 or 30 years.
Oh, and for those of you, Grimm, the Arrowverse, which we've talked about. So this is on the CW. So Flash,
Arrow,
Supergirl,
The future guys.
Jesus, I'm totally blanking. I
Something of Tomorrow, Challengers of Tomorrow.
Legends
of Tomorrow.
Thank you.
There you go.
Did a whole show about it here.
DM me, it's my favorite show.
There's a big crossover event. It's gonna be Crisis, which basically takes a bunch of different Batmans, a bunch of different Supermans. And
multiverse.
There's been some rumors that Linda Carter might show up. I don't know if that's going to happen.
We'll see. As yet to be confirmed, but pretty much everybody but her.
Yeah.
And there's a handful. Dean Kane, I don't think it's confirmed.
He's a little crazy.
But the guy from Smallville, Tom Welling.
Tom Welling's going to reprise his role as as Clark. Yeah.
And
Lois Lane, that's Elizabeth Durant.
Somewhat, you know, close to my heart. Burt Ward is going to reprise his role as Dick Grayson.
He is. Yep.
But how much screen time is all of these cameos going to get? I don't know. We'll see. But
I just
still
need a couple of minutes,
it's still
right?
Be, even if they're care. On a screen in the background, that's still going to be super cool.
This is it's like this kind of this crescendo of geekdom, right? Like we have the power, we have the studio's attention. Let's just put all of our favorites in there.
And this is coming out on the CW, or
it's going to be
like a movie.
Yeah, they're going to basically release chapters. On each show. So, like, the first one's on Arrow, the second one's on The Flash, the third one's on Supergirl.
Oh, interesting.
It's called a crossover.
It's a big crossover event. It's like five different episodes, and it's going to be a movie. I'm sure you'll get to see the movie part of it, like, on its own.
Are you familiar with the Crisis storyline?
I can say confidently, no.
Tune in next week. We teach Dan about the multiverse.
Yeah, let's get this show back
on
Batman.
Back on track.
I think you're right, because Batman deserves its own show. Obviously, it's.
Thank God they've given him so many.
I know. Where does Batman fit, Grimm, in your life as far as
have I accepted the bat into my heart?
Yes.
Is that your question?
Yeah.
I say, yes, I'm always looking for salvation. I'm a red-blooded American boy. I grew up with Batman ever present. I was just that perfect age when the Tim Burton one came out. So it was, you know, it felt like it was growing up with me, sort of.
Yeah.
But as far as following along the comics, you know, knowing all the actual DC arcs, no, that's not that really.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that.
I'm just not an avid comic reader.
Yeah.
Nothing against graphic novels, but.
That's weird.
Jimmy?
Well.
Argument to be made both ways,
well,
sir.
I'm glad that you finally got around to asking me, because it all started back in 1966 when my. It's Batman has been a part of my life as long as I can remember. Some of my earliest memories are watching the TV show and trying to replicate the things that he would do on TV, not so much jumping out, swinging from a rope off the top of the house, but just like tying the the cape around my neck and cutting holes, eye holes in it and trying to...
Batusing?
Yeah, just stuff like that. And my dad would later tell me that he would put me in the crib in front of it while he was hanging out with his dad. Yeah. I don't know maybe how true that is, but I'm going to sell it, you know. And then even most of the relationships I have up to this day are based on whether or not you like Batman, if you're still around. So
we got something to talk about.
He's just a big part of my life. And I read most of the comic books. I'm pretty familiar with most of the bigger storylines. And that's it.
He knows the Batman world. He's an expert, and no one's really even paying him for that.
Self-proclaimed expert. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you wanted to like trace it back to 66 Batman, does he remain your favorite Batman?
He does. Adam West is my favorite Batman. He's my favorite Bruce Wayne. Maybe because the amount of material, amount of data.
He was such a cool guy too.
The
actor. Yeah.
Just I'm sure there's got to be a certain amount of nostalgia. The way I was just watching a couple. Maybe 4 or 5 episodes the other day. It just makes me feel like a kid again to sit there and watch that. And,
something to be said for that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it just reminds me of sitting on the couch with my brother and, you bring back all those kind of memories. And now I can see it in high def and see the sweat stains and all the fun stuff. You just enjoy it on a different level as an adult.
Cocaine stains back then.
Well, I'm not here to judge. I do, but that's not why I'm here.
Yeah, I think I grew up, I was born in 77, so it was after that. But that was the Batman that I first saw, was the Batman 66 TV show. My dad played guitar. And they used to do fucking rancheras and a bunch of Mexican music. I hated it growing up. Like him and his friend, his friends would come over and they're all drinking. And my dad's playing a bunch of this Mexican music that I hated. But just to shut us up, my dad would just like kind of turn to us and go on his fucking guitar. And that would always just like calm us all down because we loved that tune so much.
Kind of sideboard. Did you really like that movie Coco?
I never seen Coco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I could see why
I'm
you're thinking that.
I'm a sucker for Pixar.
But that was like, I'm not here to talk about the ranchera stuff, but that's how far.
Tune in next week. Same ranchera time. Same ranchero channel.
But he.
Brought to you by Pemberton Ukulele.
He knew that this was going to be something that would shut us up because we were so into Batman at that time. And the Tim Burton movie hits, and it's a life changer. Mm-hmm. I'm 10 years old, or around then, and this movie comes out, and we were just getting into reading comic books at that time, too. So we were familiar with The Dark Knight Returns. We were familiar with it. And, we grew up loving the camp Batman, and that was our Batman as far back as my memory is. And I remember this kind of struggle to kind of mature it up, to make it grow up with us. Mm-hmm. I remember that we lived through all of that. And then, obviously we get into the Christian Bale Batman and kind of how good those movies were and at the attempt to make good movies with Ben Affleck and how that kind of worked out. But man, it's a plump, ripe fruit, mm-hmm. and it's getting picked over and over and over again, and it'll never stop. Batman will always be here.
Maybe
I'm just a nihilist, but I don't believe you can say that about anything. But Batman, you can make a bunch of bad movies, and it's not going to hurt him, apparently. So yeah, that's bulletproof.
Yeah. I mean, even some of, there's... critically panned Batman movies right now that you could go watch, but I've seen them all many times, even the Clooney one I've seen many times.
Yeah. Well, you're a dutiful consumer. I'll say that about you.
Absolutely. But I, there's always something that I find, I don't know what it is, but there is something very special about Batman. Do you think that you can kind of figure that out, Jimmy or Grim? Like, what is it about Batman? Why do we keep coming back to this guy?
He is the fantasy that, everybody thinks that maybe I could be Batman, right? He doesn't have any superpowers. He's a regular guy. And you say to yourself, well, if I just had that much money, I could be Batman. Yeah. And that's easy to touch on. Whereas you can't really pick up a comic book. You say, oh, you know what? If I was just from Krypton, or maybe not on any unnamed red sun planet, maybe I'd have all these superpowers and be a god. But could I handle them as well? Tune in next week. We're going to talk about Superman. But my point is it's a somewhat attainable goal is to be Batman.
Just the relatability.
Sure.
If you just hate crime enough.
Well, you've got to hate. I mean, who doesn't have that much hate in their heart? I mean, we just got to hone it to an edge and focus it on something. But yeah, if you've got the time or you've got that much money, you don't have to work. You can donate your whole entire day to training and studying.
Yeah.
And
you're glossing over the
prep time,
the billionaire background.
Right.
Yeah,
that's important. I mean, as a matter of fact, let me ask you this: you guys remember Richie Rich? You watch that cartoon when you were younger?
Sure.
Do you think it was irresponsible of him not to have been a superhero?
Well, I am. You know what? I'm familiar with that meme. There's plenty of billionaires alive today, and not one of them has gone on to be a superhero or fight crime. Or
well, if they're even successful about it, we wouldn't know. But I feel like Richie Rich, they weren't holding anything back.
Well, I'm going to say no, and I think that kind of highlights what truly makes Batman special is not the money. It's that he's got this.
I'm into street level vigilantism too.
Well, that too, but he's got this. This superhuman ability to not be corrupted. And I think that's what makes him special is that we think that, you know, it's possible in us to do good always. You know, like the selflessness is the true power of Batman. You know, courage kind of goes with that. You know, sacrifice kind of goes with that. His dedication to this is what makes him, and that's what Richie Rich lacks.
Heady themes, but I don't think that's the reason, you know, he's caught on.
No, it's because he looks cool and he's kicks people's ass.
He does look
there,
cool.
I think probably getting a little closer. Cool. He looks cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the reason I'm always going to be a Batman fan is, first of all, when I was a kid, I saw it. I said, hey, that looks cool.
Yeah.
That dude looks awesome. Then kind of culture kept popping up. If there had been more Flash stuff, you know, if Tim Burton had done a Flash movie or something back in the 90s instead,
maybe.
You know, the Flash might be bigger. Like Iron Man, I don't think culturally was nearly the size he was until Robert Downey Jr. started making movies about him.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. He was... He was creeping up on a B-lister, at least at Marvel. Although he was an original Avenger, his sales were pretty down, and that's why they used him first, as I understand, is because they could afford to lose him. That was the bet. They borrowed money from the bank and said, if we don't pay you back, you can have the rights to Iron Man.
Yeah, I see.
And that was somebody they could afford to lose at the time.
Well, yeah. Also, there's a lot of similarities, right? He's a billionaire. He's got this high tech. You know, the suit kind of plays a lot into this. Yeah, but, you know, why do we care about Batman more than we do about Iron Man? I mean, you know, there's something about the Batman. You know, I don't know.
Well, I think it probably as close we're going to get is like he's cool, and that was enough for me as a kid because to start watching.
Is it because he can kick Superman's ass? Maybe. No,
well,
I'm not.
That's not.
I mean, we'll tune in next week for that debate. But
next week's show is getting chock full.
Holiday special.
It just seems to me that it's just one of these, like, you know, there's this guy who's doesn't have any superpowers. He's hanging out with Superman. He's hanging out with the Flash. He's hanging out with all this kind of supernatural kind of stuff.
He's never happy about it.
And yeah, but this guy is he's on this kind of never-ending quest. He'll never accomplish what he wants. And he just keeps going and keeps going, this kind of relentlessness. And I think that's really what kind of makes him, you know.
Obsession.
An unstoppable Bruce Wayne killing tech. Machine. Ooh.
Yeah.
Wayne
but
Coe's
he doesn't
obsession.
Kill. I don't know, man. I don't know if we'll ever be able to answer that, but there is something special about Batman, and that's why we're celebrating him 80 years later. Yeah. I don't think we could ever really nail it.
It could be the elbow-length satin gloves.
It could be that, yeah. So, look, we have...
Didn't do Audrey Hepburn any,
it
any problems either.
Yeah,
she's...
I think it did her a lot of good, yeah. So, look, we have a Batman expert here.
Hear it? Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Now I hear him.
You know, take us through some of the ups and downs of Batman. You know, like what, through his history, through his different incarnations.
Take us through the Batcave, Jimmy.
Well, I got put on the spot a little bit. I didn't know I was going
to get the, is there childhood trauma involved?
For those of you who aren't familiar with that old chestnut, he was orphaned at a young age by an unknown assailant at the time, which forced him
murdered to, his parents right
murdered
in front
his
of his
parents
eyes.
And went home and cried about it for a little while, and then it made a vow in front of a candle that he's going to fight crime, and he's going to devote his life to fighting crime. And the cowards are criminals are a cowardly and superstitious lot, so it's going to be easy to fight them. He just needs to find a way to scare them. And I feel like we might have touched on this
so
before.
He opened this whole thing up based on some generalizations and prejudice about the criminal lot.
Well,
yes. From the viewpoint of an 8-year-old boy.
Back in 1939, you didn't need a lot more than that when he came out, approximately 80 years ago. So his parents got murdered in the alley. That made him hate criminals. So he was rich enough that he could afford to spend his life training and honing his skills and fighting crime. And the first time he went out as immortalized in Frank Miller's Year One, he got his ass kicked because he was just dressed in camo fatigues, I think, and just kind of like a regular Joe with a ski mask. And he tried to break up a crime and got his ass kicked. Went home, poured himself a big glass of scotch, and sat in front of a bust, bleeding and bloody and bleeding.
This
battered.
I can relate to all everything.
I'm there.
I mean, this is pretty much
this
me
is why I'm
every night after
fan,
work.
Yeah, right?
And then plop down on the couch in front of a mantle, a bust of my father, and say, "Hey, Ben, I tried, Dad, but they're just not scared of me. I don't know what I did wrong if I'm going to do this." And just at that moment, a big, huge bat comes crashing through the window and lands on his father's bust and stares down Batman. Bruce Wayne at this point. And he said, "Aha, yeah, that'll do it. That kind of scared me. I'm going to be a bat." And from that day forward, he was really arguably not merely Bruce Wayne anymore. He was Batman. And that
apparently was a secret. He didn't get his ass kicked breaking up crimes anymore.
Not after that. Well, I mean, no.
Well, no, he still
there wasn't an extra
I
montage
mean, he
of
takes
training
a
or
he takes
something?
A, well, yeah, the montages of training are... immense. I guess there's
they
he
actually
does,
do
he
more
a lot
of
the, training.
They do more of the time jumps than montages in the Batman world, right? It's just like all of a sudden he's really good, you know. I mean, I'm going back to the movies. It's just like all of a
well,
sudden
in the movies, in Batman Begins, we see a little bit of that, uh-huh. like where he trains with in the Himalayas mm-hmm. with the League of Assassins, right? That all that stuff happens in the comic books. That's pretty accurate to the source material.
Yeah, you know, like just a quick kind of rundown of, you know, what are the general...
Run it down, Marky. Run it down.
Like what I'm going to do a little color commentary.
Do a little Q&A.
Like a little like the real general history of Batman, although there's been different comics, different movies, different
versions
of it. Yeah,
so save your tweets, everybody.
Yeah, we know this, but generally speaking, he was a boy. He was with his parents. They were leaving some kind of theater, be it movie or play or something.
Pornographic, animated,
could have been
what
anything,
have
whatever,
you.
It doesn't matter. They're in an alley, and then the parents get killed, and the boy sees everything. It traumatizes him for life. He vows to fight crime. He learns to do it. He applies his vast resources that he inherited from his murdered family, and he applies that to the destruction of crime so that nobody ever has to go through this again. He never achieves this, but he will die trying.
Gotham's still a notorious shithole of a city.
Why does it? It's a horrible, disgusting city, and yet he wants to fight and die for it. And it's just an amazing concept. And he does look cool. And the Batmobile, God,
Yep, yep.
The Batmobile.
That goes a long way to a kid looking for a hero.
Yeah. So do I have it right, though, Jimmy? I mean,
it takes a lot from Zorro, right? Very similar story. And the Scarlet Pimpernel, very
He's actually been known to have seen Zorro on the night that
A lot of the times, that's what they come out from seeing is the mark of Zorro, right? Yeah. That's the movie they were seeing on the night his parents were killed. In the recent Joker movie, which is set in the 80s, the movie they were coming out of
was the Gay Blade.
Zorro the Gay Blade, which I thought was a great, because that was an 80s Zorro movie.
Starring the...
George Hamilton.
George Hamilton.
The man with the tan.
Yeah.
Which I remember seeing when I was a kid.
That's a great movie.
It's a good movie, yeah.
That'll be in 2 weeks, our review of Zorro the Gay Blade. We're pretty stocked up for next week.
Yeah, so again, guys, this is it. Batman, 80-year anniversary.
And that's it. And he takes in kids and trains them to be Robin, and he has lots of sidekicks, and he thinks nobody likes him, but he has a lot of people that like to dress like him. And
speaking of Robin,
hang out in the cave.
We do have a bonus audio for everybody. Sean Marr from Firefly and whatnot.
Firefly! I've heard of that.
From the Firefly verse,
but his voice can be recognized as playing Nightwing, who we all know is Dick Grayson, who we all know is the first Robin. So we're going to bring you that audio a little bit later.
In the current Tuckerverse, right?
Yeah.
We got him on for Hush.
You better tell everybody what Tuckerverse means.
Tuckerverse is James Tucker is the producer of all these new DCU animated movies for Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. And he's kind of in charge, the main guy behind the new 52 storyline with all these new movies coming out. So when we were at the premiere of Hush back at Comic-Con 2019, somebody in the audience had dubbed it the Tuckerverse, so I'm trying to push that along.
Hashtag Tuckerverse,
y'all.
Hashtag
Tuckerverse.
This is like the, it's no secret DC is really struggling to bring about their cinematic universe.
Yeah. Just putting a label.
But they're making headroads into this one particular animated Batman straight to video.
Yeah, they have
market.
Right. These are mostly
that would be the Tuckerverse.
They have two things. Okay, so Marvel has the cinematic universe locked down, and DC appears to have given up on that. But what they have is the animated movies. They have that. Marvel doesn't have that going for it yet.
Yeah.
And every year they do a big release at San Diego Comic-Con. Every year there's a big press avail, a big premiere, and it's something that I do every year, and I can't wait for next year's again. DC also has the Arrowverse, which is the TV version of it. So DC's got this animated thing going for it, and it's TV live action
thing
going for it.
They're working some universes.
They got these things, and here we are talking to we're going to bring you two Batman and one Robin in today's show. All of this to celebrate Batman's 80th anniversary.
Yeah. And of course, don't forget the release of Batman Hush. You can watch it, buy it, rent it, stream it.
DC Universe.
Wear it, strip it, smack it, flip it, rub it down.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I heard you. That is hardwired, isn't it, everybody?
Yeah, it's in
you
there.
Did it at home, too, didn't you?
Yeah. Let's go to Batman.
Yeah. All right. Magic Interview Machine, give us two Batman and one Robin.
Meanwhile,
let's get down to business.
I guess you can start. Yeah.
Well, I guess, first of all, congratulations. This is a big anniversary for you guys.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, it is kind of crazy because I grew up watching this, and now I'm like, I feel a little old because it's like, how has it been around for this long? But
think you feel old.
I was going to say, it must be surreal for you, though, because you've been with this character, not just through this show, but through Batman the Animated Series as well. So I guess
27 years. Isn't that crazy?
That's unreal.
It doesn't happen. Acting jobs don't last that long, you know? So it's a very unique experience. But it's been great. I'm so lucky.
Yeah. I was just wondering, actually, how has your, your relationship with Batman, is a weird way to put it, but how has your relationship with Batman changed over those years, and how has, your performance may have changed?
The trick for me has been not to have it change, is to have it remain truthful to the character who was established 27 years ago. Because the audience It's an amazing thing about Batman. The audience is passionate about the character. They love him, you know? There's a very intimate... Audiences have a very intimate relationship with animated characters because you live in people's imaginations. When you're the voice of an animated character, they come up to me like I'm a brother, you know? I'm someone they know, and they've never met me before because I live in their imagination. I'm the voice they hear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an intimacy. And if I'm not truthful to the character that they know,
yeah,
they'll nail me in a heartbeat. So the trick to me has always been to be truthful to it, to be faithful to it, to keep it fresh. And I think the fact that I started out in the theater, where you have to do a show 8 times a week for a year, and you have to learn how to keep it fresh every night, was great training for doing a role for this long and not allowing it to get stale.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I think you've done a great job of that. I'm kind of freaking out right now because hearing you talk, I feel like I'm talking to Bruce Wayne.
There you go.
So it's kind of it's a surreal moment for me. But yeah, I guess in addition to that, just speaking again on relationships, what's your working relationship with Mark Hamill like? Because you guys are, I mean, you're the definitive version of these characters, at least for a lot of fans.
Working with Mark Hamill is, Andrea said, it's like watching 12-year-olds or 7-year-olds in a playground together. She said, the two of you get in a room, and she's got to come in and separate us. He is so much fun to work with. Everything you see is Mark. There's no pretense. There's no ego. There's no bull. You know, he is 100% there. He's generous. He's there to play. And he gives me so much that I can't help but perform well when I'm with him. You know what I mean? He gives, and I've said this to him. I said, you define me. And he said, well, you define me. So Bruce, you know, Batman and Joker, they kind of define each other.
Yeah.
And we feed each other. I wish the audience could see him in the booth because he's got that Jim Carrey kind of face, that rubbery kind of face. And Mark will be, you know, Betty, you know, he's like, it's scary to be in there with him because he kind of becomes the Joker.
Yeah.
And he spits a lot, you know, when he's acting. So I'm like, boom, boom, boom.
It's another form of the
It's another dimension to the performance. And I come out and I'm like, oh, thanks, Mark. That was great.
Maybe we can get Batman in 4D eventually. did anyone else?
Is there any difference in your approach?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the same man, but he's in BTAZ. Bruce Wayne has the luxury of youth. He hasn't tasted mortality, really. In Batman Beyond, he has. He senses the passage of time, which is why he reaches out to Terry McGinnis. And that's a very sobering thing. He's still a powerful man, but he's frustrated by the fact that his body... excuse me. He's frustrated by the fact that his body won't do everything he demands it to do anymore. And that makes him cranky and angry. He's angry at his body, you know what I mean? But he's still powerful. He's still got that passion of Bruce Wayne, of Batman, which is what was fun about playing him in that stage. He's not a doddery old 80-year-old. He's a feisty, passionate 80-year-old. So, yeah, it was very different. They're different stages of the same man's life.
Last question.
Anyone?
No. Take it to you, go.
Okay, yeah. So I guess when you guys announced that the Blu-ray was coming out and that if it's sold well, we've heard that there may be another season.
Oh.
Batman Beyond. So I guess would you have any thoughts of where you think Bruce Wayne will be should we come back and visit
well,
him again
in the season?
Well,
first of all, that was today in Hall H. That was announced by Bruce Timm, the possibility of another season if this sells well. None of us had ever heard any of that before. So, oh, I could feel everyone at the table say, oh, really? Yeah. That would be incredible. It would be great. I would just love to explore the relationship with Terry more deeply because now we know that he's his son.
Yeah.
And we didn't know that throughout Batman Beyond.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Great day.
Meanwhile. And we sort of carried it through Justice League versus Titans and all the other Justice League titles and the Superman titles. And so now we have a situation where that same version of the character, while in a state of extremis, falls for someone, you know, and he's completely taken off guard by it. In a way, the timing couldn't be worse, you know. And so, I feel pretty strongly that for the first time since I started playing the character, that the lines between Bruce Wayne and Batman are really getting blurred here, because. Really now, how do you define it? Is he Batman when he has the cowl on, and Bruce when he doesn't? But he's also a father, and he's now a lover. You can't really be yourself when you're trying to be someone else. So, I feel like the line between them is being blurred here, and I find that really exciting because I think it's defining, and makes this version of the character kind of unique.
Up to the green room in case. So I was wondering, since what was your preparation for bringing this version of Batman to this film as opposed to previous versions?
Do you mean previous versions that I've done?
Yes. Because I know that I imagine the characters kind of change and evolve over time, just with the story.
But it's changed and evolved naturally. Like it's not like, oh, I'm doing Batman Hush, so he's going to be different. It's evolved naturally throughout. That's what I'm trying to say. Throughout, this is now the 10th film in this series, and it's almost like 22 hours of television. Like it's like a full season of. Ups and downs, and it continues the story in a very strong way. So the fact that, you know, obviously some changes had to be made to sort of retrofit Batman Hush to fit into this continuity, while also remaining faithful to the principles and the themes of the story. So I didn't have to do any special preparation. I was already a fan of the comic book, and honestly, I was just waiting for them to announced that they were going to do Batman Hush with someone else in some other version of the universe, and then when they said they were going to do it with this one, I was doing backflips for joy. I really was. And even when I was recording the film, I kept thinking of this day, this moment, you know, before going to Ballroom 20 and playing, watching it play to 4,250 people, and it just gives me such a rush to hear them laugh and cheer and clap. And I'm not particularly fond of the sound of my own voice. That part is a bit cringy, but I do love watching them react and have fun. And so it's almost like this time it's personal for Batman, and this time it's personal for me too.
Do you feel like this is one of the most, if not the most, personal Batman story you've ever been a part of?
Yes, but I feel like we've earned it. Like, it's not like we've gone from a version of Batman where he's just like, he's Batman and he's out there and he's solving crime and kicking ass, and then all of a sudden he's Bruce Wayne and he's talking to Alfred, and, you know. This Batman has always had this sort of internal struggle, and he's always struggled with holding his emotions together. He struggled with his own demons and his own unique backstory. Don't forget, he was manipulated in a particularly grotesque way by Talia that hasn't happened in any other Batman continuity. Right. So he carries that with him. And he's also trying to be the best father he can. So, I feel like just as Batman Hush was era-defining as a graphic novel for its time, Batman issues, the 12 issues that were, you know, just instant classics. 15 years ago. I feel that this is continuity defining for this particular series. And there's a group of Batman fans who have grown up watching these movies now, which is very rewarding. You know, it's all I heard was Kevin Conroy for the last like 7 years. Kevin Conroy is amazing. I'm a huge fan as well. But there's now a generation of kids who've grown up watching these movies in particular, and that's really rewarding.
Was it interesting seeing like Batman's relationship with Damian kind of evolve to where it's at a good point now? And now, like you said, his relationship with women, you know, you go from Talia, now he's with Selina. So how was that kind of seeing that progression for his character?
Well, he's with Selina, but, you know, will he, won't he? You know, it's not exactly like...
But it's still 180, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's absolutely been part of it. And I think how he's, you know, every single episode... It's almost like you want to call them episodes in these movies. You know, we've had some progression and some evolution of Batman and Bruce Wayne, and according to my theory, they've started to sort of meld. And so, that's why I feel this is earned. Like, it's not like Batman Hush has come out of nowhere. It's like. It almost feels like this is kind of the next logical step, the next right episode for this particular universe.
What's it like to have this come out when Batman turns 80?
Well, it's serendipity. I mean, you couldn't plan it better, could you? Also, like, you know, I suppose in a way I've been unfortunate in that I've never had a Batman standalone title at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
This is my first one, even though it's my 10th, so it's just the way the scheduling, you know, release dates work out. And so that in itself is a thrill. Look, I think we are all servants to the character, whether you're playing it in live action or voice acting, or whether you're drawing a frame or a cell, you have to serve the character. The character was around long before I was born and will be around long after I'm gone. And you just try to leave the character in a better place than you found it and serve it as best you can and move on, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's always an honor and a privilege whenever I get a chance to do it. And particularly so in this case. I'm very, very proud of this movie.
Mm, cool. What do you personally do to get into character to play Batman?
Honestly, I don't. It requires warming up. It requires spending some time in front of the mic, reading the first few scenes. I call it finding my, you know, dropping in, finding my sweet spot, my sweet zone, and just trying to find that place in my vocal range where it's starting to come alive or it starts to sound like what I think when I read a Batman comic book, you know. So that's all I can really bring to it, and I can also bring my own, you know, experience as a human being, but that's a natural actor's process anyway. You know, I'm a dad as well in real life, not to a ninja assassin, but he has his moments, you know what I'm saying? So just bring all of that and try to make it as truthful as possible. But no, I don't have like a ritual or any weird and also, I mean, it's not just me up there. I work with really good voice directors, you know. Wes Gleason on this is a terrific voice director. Earlier on, it was Andrea Romano, who helped me sort of become Batman through Justice League War and a couple others in those early days. So, yeah, I give a lot of credit to these guys, you know. And James Tucker, in particular, as a producer, I've really enjoyed working with him. He's got a real instinct for the character. And you know, we're all aware that we want to try to make this version of the character stand out. Like, there's so many versions, you know, and they're all great. But it's like you got to carve your own turf out somewhere, you know. I feel like we've done that in a sort of a natural way without forcing it too much.
And if you could play any other character in the DC universe aside from Batman that you haven't played before, what would it be and why?
I've always thought Joker, because I just love how unhinged he is, and I don't know, every time, it just feels like Batman when he's on the screen, you know, or when he's in the book. Like, it's Batman. It's almost like he's the villain that defines the hero, you know? So I think I probably love him for that reason. But I do have this weird, dirty secret. This has got nothing to do with Batman, guys. But I, when I was a child, no. No, I do have this dirty secret that like one of my favorite Riddlers of all time is Jim Carrey in Batman Forever. Like,
yes.
I think he's I think he's amazing. A man of many voices, like crazy, like you believe he was like that. That movie goes a little nutso towards the end, but I think he's like a brilliant villain, and I saw that movie many times, mostly because of him. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Riddler's great too, and Jeffrey Arendt as the Riddler is spot on.
I can't wait to see it.
So, because this is a saga, where would you like your Batman to end?
I think there's some unanswered questions about his relationship with Damien. I think that's got to come full circle somehow. I think that's always been, as I keep banging on, that's kind of, you know, integral to this run. And I think something has to happen with the maybe with the Justice League, with some of those relationships. Although I do feel like Batman and Superman got a lot of mileage out of those Superman movies that just came out. Death of Superman and Reign of the Superman. So, yeah, I think it's more personal for him. I think it's, I think it all boils down to Damien. And I don't know if that's something that'll ever be resolved, whether it'll be sooner, later, how long this is going to go on for. I'm certainly going to write it for as long as they ask me. But this does feel like a high water mark, Batman Hush, for this continuity. I'm just going to try not to think about the future. I'm just trying to enjoy this for what it is. Are we good?
Anybody else?
Yeah.
No?
Favorite voice actor? Anybody you admire or look up to?
Well, I mean, I already mentioned Kevin Conroy. He's like, he's
not necessarily Batman.
Really good. Yeah, yeah, not necessarily Batman. He's still good. Even then. Oh, gosh. I think Mark Hamill does a great job as the Joker. I know, I'm trying to think of non Batman related voices. Oh gosh, I do love like some of the Toy Story voices. I think are amazing, like Tom Hanks and Toy Story is just incredible. I think I love it when it, particularly, I mean, I love comedy, believe it or not, even though I don't get a chance to do much of it, but I do love it when comic, there's something so honest about comic actors when they stand up in front of the mic, and I love that. So like, you know, I just love all kinds of voice acting and animation, and when it works, it works, you know. So I can't think of anyone right now. Of course, I'll walk out of here not thinking 10.
Did you enjoy there was in Justice League Dark, Batman had like some moments where it was like unintentionally funny, but he was just doing stuff like the ghosts are like, oh yeah, you're coming next, and he's like, boo, and they're like, oh. So did you kind of enjoy like Batman's dynamic with that whole group in that movie?
Oh, totally, totally. I mean, I took one look at that script and I thought, this is a fantastic opportunity to show sort of a lighter side of Batman, because he's essentially the eyes and ears of the audience. And he's skeptical about all of this like dark supernatural stuff. It all seems like just mumbo jumbo to him. But, you know, you have to be sort of skeptical and then be brought into this and then realize that it is happening. It is real. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun to do. That was a lot of fun. And I think if you include Justice League Dark with the other films he's done, we've got a really nice cross-section of Batman. And you know, I just feel very, very honored to be able to have played him for this long over such a large arc. And, you know, long may it last. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Have a great con. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Don't work too hard.
Meanwhile, I think there's, you know, having done this character for as long as I have, it's impossible to, you know, not move forward with what you've experienced in the past. And at the same time, each film stands alone, especially in its, you know, its tone. This one specifically, Batman Hush, I think, was the grittiest, I think the darkest one that I've done. So I think what I do as my process is just sort of, you know, step back into him. There's an ease there. There's a familiarity, which is really wonderful. But at the same time, I'm trying to bring something new, something fresh. fresh, a different take, and I think with the backdrop of each specific tone of the movie.
I love
this character. I've grown, you know. I mean, I think after the first film, I was like, wow, this guy's cool. And I love Dick, and I love the relationship between him and Batman, and I love everything about it. So I'm honored that they continue to ask me to come back.
So my last question is, were there any like kind of challenges or difficulties that came up just because this one is kind of greater, as you said?
Yeah. I can't think of any specific. I think, you know, there's an emotional element and a very like psychological element to this film, and I think my biggest challenge for voice acting is that I'm not with another actor. I'm alone in the booth, and I think when that's happening, when you're sort of visiting more emotional stuff, it's tricky to not be there and to not hear what they're saying. I really love these stories. I love Batman. I always have since I was a kid, since I can remember, and I think it's just pretty cool to come back each time and step into his shoes, so to speak. So kind of everything about it, right? And the best part is that they keep asking me, you know. I mean, probably not. I don't know what I really don't know what I do, to be honest. I think physically I approach him with my voice, and then I have a picture of him on the music stand, and I just sort of, you know, try and tell the story to the best I can. I mean, I think there is an element of Robin that is carried over, you know, inherently because of the dynamic between them. I mean, there is a fatherly thing still happening, and but yeah, I'm not really conscious of it when I'm doing it.
You kind of have a Nightwing-ish type vibe physically. Would you ever be open to playing him if a live-action opportunity ever came up?
Are you kidding?
Of course. Just asking.
You think I look like Nightwing?
Yeah, for sure.
I love you. No, I mean, oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
Okay.
Amazing. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Especially. Especially from the side. You got to see it from the side. Yeah.
Stay at this table all day.
Yeah.
The adventure continues. Now with Batman, the serial. And nothing can slow him down. Nothing can stop him from bringing it to you. It's here. A smashing taste. A honey nut flavored part of your complete breakfast. Batman cereal.
That is still one of my most favorite cereals of all time. Is that they actually, whatever that recipe is, they change the mold and it comes out every once in a while. This flavor, it's a temporary flavor, but it comes out and it's fucking delicious.
Like in different Batman cereals?
No,
or
like
you
different properties. Like it tastes a lot like Captain Crunch is basically what it is.
Okay.
It's an awful lot.
Different shaped cat.
It's basically, Crunch. Instead of the barrels or whatever Captain Crunch is, it's a barrel, right?
They look like barrels.
I think they're barrels.
Yeah, maybe that's right.
Yeah. So
you would find a barrel on a pirate ship that does.
Yeah. So yeah, it's basically
a tenuous connection at best, but all right.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. So
bottle of rum.
It's Captain Crunch, shaped like little Batman. I mean, the little Batman symbols. And there you go. Batman cereal. There it is.
That was it.
And, your connection.
Okay. Thanks for connecting all that, because I do know Batman's two biggest passions are fighting crime and providing cereal for
delicious
children.
Nutritional cereal with vitamins and minerals.
Yes. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Pour milk on me.
I'm not going to participate in this.
Because, you don't want to do the Batman voice?
Not even a little bit. Come on,
I'm
Marky.
I don't like to make fun of this. I like.
Why did you eat that egg?
He took a chance. You know, he went out there. Adam West made no effort at all to change his voice. Michael Keaton didn't make.
He changed his tone. He changed his demeanor and his tone.
I don't
similar
think so.
To your beloved Chris Reeves. Chris Reeve.
Superman. Yeah, Reeve changed every. Yeah. He changed the way his back is. He changed his posture.
And I think you'll find if when we start our new podcast based on the Batman series, you might notice some of these slight differences.
In his performance.
Jimmy out there throwing a plug for is slated to premiere sometime in 2020.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell them about it.
What's the working title on this?
The working title. Why don't you get back to us, listeners, with your idea? We're going to have a commentary of the Batman 66 show with some information, hilarious.
This is a mini series that we're producing.
Coming out
in 2020.
And we need a name. Hit us up on Twitter or any social media feed. We need a name.
Yeah. We have some working titles, so.
Working title is Another Batman Podcast.
Yeah. What's over that? Yeah. So
white males on Batman.
Yeah. Keep your eyes peeled. We have a very, very exciting podcast coming out. Men on Batman. Isn't that how every episode is?
Hated it.
Yeah.
Batman's got on satin gloves. Hated it. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. I love it. That's my favorite part.
So, yeah, look out for that in 2020 somewhere in your podcast sphere, wherever you happen to get them. Anyway, that you just heard Jason O'Mara, Kevin Conroy, and Sean Marr.
Was it in that order?
It was in no particular order. Sean Marr, Kevin Conroy, and Jason O'Mara.
Yeah. So a Batman and a Robin.
Lots of Batman and a little Robin.
Yeah. Mark, remind me, where did we get this audio from?
Well, this was all recorded at San Diego Comic-Con 2019 at two different press rooms. So we were at the Batman Beyond, which was the 20th anniversary. Yeah.
Thinking back, the voice you heard answering questions about Batman Beyond,
that was
Kevin Conroy.
That was Kevin Conroy.
In case it wasn't clear in the interview.
They had released a Batman the Animated Series last year for its 25th anniversary, and then Batman Beyond, this was its 20th anniversary, and this one, just like Batman the Animated Series, got a full Blu-ray digital release, and we're actually holding it right now. Jimmy's holding it right now, and this is the collector's edition.
Now he's taking a selfie with it.
And this includes a Funko Pop Batman Beyond, including collector's book and lenticulars. Right? Are there lenticulars in there?
I think that's what it says.
Yeah. So that one's mine. I'm not giving it away, but I just wanted you guys to see it.
Revel in it.
Great podcast.
Yeah. So Batman the Animated Series really changed the way that cartoons depict the superhero verse again. It was, you know, one fed the other for a while, and then it goes the other way around, and then it grows up, and then it comes back down. It's just this awesome, wonderful cycle. And what they did was they took the success of Batman the Animated Series, they took all the same voices, or most of them, right? Mm-hmm. And they grew it up. And the funny thing is I have never, ever, ever seen a single episode of Batman Beyond. It's true.
Well, now you've got them all.
And I got them all now. Yeah.
And more.
And when we were at the press room, we were at the table, and they were running a little bit late. We were waiting for Kevin Conroy to come out. And I'm sitting there with Jimmy here and some of the other journalists.
That's me.
And I said, I've never seen a Batman Beyond, but let me guess what the story is. And I'm going to kind of try to repeat what I said then, was it's 30 years later. Batman from the animated series is old and retired, and there's new Batman coming to take the crown. That's kind of what I said. I was pretty close, wasn't I?
You completely forgot about the dog. Completely forgot about the new
Batmobile. Well, tell us about Batman Beyond. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is this about?
You pretty much nailed it. It's in the future, and Bruce Wayne has kind of reached the point where he can't do it
anymore.
Kevin Conroy is the voice of Bruce mm-hmm. Wayne slash Batman. Mm-hmm. Has reached the point where he can't really do it anymore. So, similar to Jason Todd, a young upstart kind of gets into his life. Terry McGinnis, excuse me. And he eventually takes over the mantle of the Bat with a new improved bat suit with new tech. And so Batman is kind of his guy in the chair that guides him along. And they're always communicating back and forth. He's telling him what to do. And he's like, no way, old man, I'm going to do it this way. And it's a really great take. It's a really great progression of the character in the franchise and the mantle of the Bat. And they introduce some pretty cool new characters, some pretty cool new villains, and mm-hmm. They update some older villains.
Yeah, and there was a lot. There was a lot of audio taken on that day. We're not able to kind of compact it all into this hopefully hour long episode. But Jimmy, didn't you upload these onto your YouTube channel?
You can check out Retro Cool Nerd YouTube channel. Uh-huh. Backslash or however you do that on YouTube. Retro Cool Nerd. And I've got everybody involved with Hush and Batman Beyond from that 2019 okay. Comic-Con.
Well, why don't we talk about Hush a little bit then? So the other one that at was Hush. Hush is one of the best known Batman story arcs of the last 25 years. It was a complete DC run.
Early 2000s, written by Jeff Loeb, art by Jim Lee. Mm-hmm. And colored by Alex Sinclair.
Yeah, attaboy.
And I got it there.
Yeah. And, we assume.
12-issue run. Great landmark story. Yeah. One of the first times that maybe not the first time, but one of the bigger times where Batman and Catwoman got together and mm-hmm. kind of.
They actually gone all the way.
Gone all the way and started that romance that's now kind of the norm mm-hmm. in the Tom King run, his 100-issue run in the DC universe now, currently. Mm-hmm. Landmark story introduced
which,
to that,
which
of
also
characters.
Leads to that there's like Batman could actually have a love life, right? I mean, that's kind of a new thing.
That was kind of one of the things that, yeah, maybe there's something besides crime fighting, maybe he can chase the tail. in this case, pun intended.
Even the Pope is letting priests get it on now.
That's true. He's
world's
got to
grow
it.
Up.
That's right, that's right.
And where were we?
What were you talking about?
It was Batman.
Hush. Batman, Hush. Yeah. And, the Catwoman-Batman relationship. Yeah. Introduced a lot of new characters. This is one of the first time that we saw.
Hold on.
We're getting a communique. Is it the commissioner, Jimmy?
This just is.
Is it the commissioner?
Is that the bat phone?
This is the first time that we saw Jason Todd outside of the grave in the comic book story. The movie kind of completely glosses over that, but so there's a lot of cool stuff that happened in that story.
Yeah, and while we're talking about Batman Hush, I just want to we want to encourage everybody to watch this. We're going to start to get into some spoilers here, so if you haven't seen Batman Hush, the movie.
If you're not familiar with the comic, tune out now.
We're going to start to kind of talk about that a little bit. So let's talk about our day at Comic-Con because we got to watch the world premiere of Batman Hush at the Ballroom 20, which is the second biggest theater at Comic-Con. And we got special passes to watch it with the cast and crew. Jimmy was there. I was there. Tell me about that a little bit.
I got to say... You know, I've been to a lot of Comic-Cons. I've been to a lot of these type of things, a lot of premieres. Not to brag that I live that kind of lifestyle, but mm-hmm. I guess I kind of am. But that was one of the pimpest moves I've ever seen was when I was there with you. And, we came in through the back, and like you said, Ballroom 20
yeah.
is just – it's Leviathan. It's huge. I mean, we came in through the back. And
a couple thousand at least.
I had to stop and drink a Gatorade before we got to our seats that were all the way up at the front. As Mark mentioned, we had some special passes, which is cool to sit up there. You get to sit kind of close to the people that make it or whoever. I've been there a couple times with the composers, so that's kind of cool. But so we roll – as we're rolling up kind of from behind, we're splitting off to get in our seats into the section. And I don't know if Mark noticed it or not, but we could see Jason O'Mara and the whole cast coming in from the right and picking their seats. So Mark rolls in and gets from the other, they were coming in from the right. Mark rolled up the aisle to the left and kind of went in from that side. And from my perspective, still hanging back a little bit, it looked like they looked at him coming in from that. We're like, oh, no, let's go up a row. Because they maybe they saw you, maybe they assumed they had more people that could fit in that row. I don't know. But you kind of like made this thing like, oh, I dropped my badge or something, and turned around and like playing. And then by the time you looked up, they were in the other row. So you just went into the next row and plopped down right next to Jason O'Mara. And I got to say, man, that was pretty cool to be able to sit. So we kind of as a team all your buddy was there also.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were all sitting next to the whole cast, but elbowing with Jason O'Mara for a good part of it.
Yeah.
Until he had to go to the
There wasn't quite that much thought that kind of went into it, but
from my perspective.
I could see that. But, yeah. There were different there's, like, different sections of seats. And mm-hmm. so they had the cast and crew. There was reserve section at the back of the first section, stage right. And so there's aisles that separate the different sections. And so as we started to go towards the, you know, our seats were at the back of the section, which is up at the front. And so as all the cast and crew, they're all talking, they're all having a good time, they're all in party mode. This is all Comic-Con, and so they're all in party mode, they're having a good time, and we saw them and they recognized us, and we're all saying hi to each other because we just interviewed them a couple hours earlier.
Yeah, maybe I didn't met. We had just come straight from that press room where we had just talked to them. Yeah, so we might have been familiar faces, right?
Yeah, everyone was kind of.
You guys had history.
We all had a history at that point, but the thing that I really like, and you guys will see some of the pictures on our slideshow or on our website, retrocool.com.
Retrocoolnerd.com.
And MattyPRadio.com. But what they will do, and I don't know, I'm sure this is planned out, but the actors who are voice actors in this particular project, they do wear T-shirts with their logos. So Jason O'Mara had a Batman shirt. And so on, you know.
A lot of times, yeah.
Lot of times. It's not a hard, fast rule, but a lot of times. So
I've noticed that he always does, at least.
Yeah.
Jason O'Mara always has a Batman T-shirt.
They almost always.
Jerry O'Connell always has a Superman shirt on.
The guy who plays Flash, I forget
right,
his name.
Right.
Yeah. So
what T-shirt did he wear?
Wonder Woman, yeah.
See?
It's not a hard, fast rule.
It takes all kinds.
But
it's not a rule. I mean,
it's a hard, fast rule. It's not a hard, fast rule. But so anyway, as we're all kind of walking there together, and then everyone's going to the right. We're in the back of the aisle at this point. Everyone's going to the right and then filtering in, moving to the left, which would be to the middle of the aisle. And so I'm looking at all of them going in through that way, through the right. And then I'm like, why are we? So if we just followed them, we'd be at the very end of the right side of that aisle. But they're all going from right to left. So I take my small group, which includes Jimmy and my buddy Matty P. And so we end up going just to the left, just because there's no one going through that way. It wasn't because I was trying to get close to them. It worked out that way. But yeah, so at the end of the day, we end up watching a Batman movie with Batman himself. Jason O'Mara is right there. I get to chat, and I think he brings his wife. I think that's who was sitting directly next to me, but then he was there. And there was something really cool about watching this movie, and we want everybody to watch it. Hush is fantastic. We get to watch this really great performance of Batman right next to Batman. I lean over to his old lady. I think that's his old lady or his girlfriend, I'm not sure. And I'm just like...
His old lady?
His old lady. His vieja. You know,
whoever she was. She was not... Yeah. She was a lady, but she didn't strike me as being old. Don't
this
come at us.
It's a figure of speech. His ball and chain. What do you want? And so anyway,
I'm talking to this.
Sure, it wasn't his guma.
And I said,
it could have been his guma. I don't know.
Hey, what's up with this Batman cat?
But you could just like she was enjoying it. It's probably the first time that she had seen it. I think most of the time that's the first time that any of them have seen it, right? Like you really kind of get that that it's the first time that even
at least that's what they're selling. I can't imagine that.
Then again, they
seen
are
some sort of cut
actors.
Or they don't
have
screeners.
And
genius.
We're watching this movie, and I kind of looked at her. I go, "Damn, he's good at this." And she's like, "I know, he's so good at this." You know, meaning Jason O'Mara's acting. But the movie's great. The performance is great. And again, spoiler alert. I'll give you guys a minute. But the big reveal at the end of this particular one is the reveal of who is Hush. And this is where it deviates a little bit from the comics. Am I right?
Yeah, it deviates a lot from the comics. The story is pretty accurate right up until about halfway through. But it takes a pretty big turn. The comics introduce and set up Thomas Elliot as his childhood friend, buddy that he hasn't seen in a while, but they were really good friends through school, similar history. And after he gets his brain fractured, Thomas Elliot is the surgeon that saves his life and fixes Bruce Wayne's skull. Mm-hmm. So that character is kind of quickly abandoned in the movie when he gets killed halfway through by somebody that's not the Joker. Spoilers again.
Yeah, again.
If you haven't seen it, these are big spoilers. Yeah, it's not the Joker. Yeah.
But, so either stop listening or just forget everything you heard here.
The comic story progresses from there that it ends up that was a big red herring, and Thomas Elliot is still alive and, in fact, is Hush.
Let's not give who Hush is here before you get there. But
So in the movie, that's pretty...
It's different.
The story, that's where it really deviates right there, and things are pretty different from the story in the comics.
And why that's important is because they actually do address this. One of the great things about seeing a premiere at Comic-Con is that they end up having a panel after the premiere. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's kind of... I'm sure you could find YouTube clips of this panel, but... Do your own work. But I do want to say something...
Check out Retro Cool Nerd on YouTube.
It's there, too.
There might be a clip there.
Is that what one of the cool things about this is we know that there's going to be people that are going to be like, oh, why wasn't it like the comic? The comic did this, blah. You know, like shit like that. And I remember who answers. I think it's one of the producers, but
I think it was James Tucker.
Tucker says, he says, like, look, this is our Hush, meaning the Tuckerverse, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and. I think that that's great. I think it's better that way for those of you that have read the comic Hush. There's something for you that's new in this. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen this before.
But what I understand, it kind of went off the rails when he stood up and started shouting and saying, "You think I have a God complex? I am God."
He's like, "Hush!"
He said, "You think I have a Tucker complex?
I am Tucker."
Right. But and I think he similarly was touching on I'm paraphrasing what he was saying, it's hard to placate fans that are big fans of the comic book version, and if you change even the slightest detail, you can't go exactly by the script that's in the comic, but when you change things, whatever it's for time or for continuity of your new Tuckerverse, mm-hmm. or for whatever reason you change it, you're just going to piss off fans. So it's a fine line that they try to walk. We're making fans happy and trying to stay close to the source material and do that honor the source material, right?
I think that the way that he worded it was well, is that this is our Hush.
Yeah.
You know? And you can just kind of say that, like, this is our Dark Knight Returns. This is our, you know, like, I love that part of it because it gives you a lot of freedom. Do what's right for the story, mm-hmm. for the arc, for the universe that you're trying to create.
Right.
Make a good movie first.
Right. So they've taken the base of that story and woven it into their new 52 hashtag Tuckerverse.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. I enjoyed it, even though it's different than what I was used to. And I enjoyed everything I saw. I was kind of looking forward to seeing the Jason Todd Clayface stuff again. Spoilers, but that wasn't in the movie. So, but other than that, it was pretty good. The direction they took it, they focused more on the relationship with the Bat and the Cat, which is pretty popular these days in the current comic book timeline. So I can see where they want to focus on that and highlight that relationship and push that forward.
Yeah, and it's done really, really well. Most of these movies are great. And
now Tucker has spoken. So
Tucker has
spoken. That is it. That's the new
52. You
know, Tuckerverse.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's absolutely it. And they timed it just perfectly. You know, Batman's 80th year. You know, I'm glad that I am a part of it in some way. You know, I mean, I got to experience it in some way.
Mm-hmm. Jason O'Mara, as you heard, touched on that a little bit mm-hmm. in that interview. How cool it was to be at the 50th Comic-Con, 50th anniversary of Comic-Con for the 80th Batman anniversary.
Yeah.
That was very cool for me to be there, too. I don't know. But I'm not Batman.
Yeah.
As far as you know.
I've got them all fooled.
Well, yeah. You have the mustache. That's not going
to... And I didn't want to say anything, but you walked into the studio today with the cowl on.
Oh.
And then about 20 minutes in, you were like,
it's just...
oh, and you did a really fake sneeze and bent under the table.
Speak to me or whatever. Anyway, yeah, that's our Batman show.
All right, there we go. That's a Batman show number seven for Saturday Morning Serial.
Bringing you two Batmans today.
Bring you
two Batmans,
two Batmans,
two Batman and a Robin,
and a Nightwing.
That was awesome. We didn't even talk about the Sean Marr interview, but you heard it there.
Yeah,
how about that guy?
Did or you skipped ahead? We don't know, and we're not going to judge.
Yeah, but that's it. That's all. That's all we got for you.
I'm looking around the room, and I feel like the energy and the faces are all agreeing with me. That's about enough of this.
Mm-hmm. That's enough.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Oh, this is enough of this.